Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a long-lost edition of Cheater and the Rude. It is the first show after Labor Day, the first show in the middle of this Jewish New Year celebration. This is a New York-based radio station, so you got to pay homage to the great purveyors of all the pastrami and corned beef and my jeans. So, and I don't mean that's not a joke about the Leviticus and the Levi's. That's a joke about my lineage and blood and things that make me who I am. And who am I? You ask. I am the cheater. I'm Jeff Kreisler, the author of the book Get Rich Cheating. That book came out 1,000 years ago, but it's ever more and more relevant, or so I tell everybody that I meet in bars, because I found that when you're in a bar, the best thing to do is talk to somebody about a book, and that's how you can assure yourself of getting some quality time alone, which is why I go to bars, because I think you go there and you drink with noise around you, and the solitude you experience while in a place that expects social interaction is great. It's sort of like why we're attacking Syria. All right, there. I fulfill an obligation to mention Syria. I don't know that I want to do much more of that, but we will get to Syria. By the way, you know what? We haven't talked in a while. So normally everybody after these shows, they tweet me at Jeff Kreisler or Lee at Reed Pundit. Or they send us messages, but let me call in. If you listen live, it's Thursday, 2094. Call in, 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. And yeah, let's talk about something. Let's talk about something besides Syria. because, you know, there's other stuff happening in the world. Or at least here domestically. I mean, you know, there's got to be something about pop culture that's outrageous, like how CNN spent a whole day covering Miley Cyrus instead of Syria. Oh, that's Syria, I guess. You know, if the shoes were on the other foot or the boots were on the other ground, as the phrase may be. So I would love if one of my listeners would find out when boots on the ground started as a phrase. It's not. Someone said to me today, oh, they're just using it now a lot. No, they're not using it now a lot. I certainly can remember hearing it back in the old World War One news broadcasts and webisodes that used to go out all the time there. Well, I remember I used to go on Drudge Report back during World War One and hear people talk about boots. It's a more of a phrase now. Okay, I know. I didn't really put in Drudge Report during World War One. He wasn't up yet. It was the HuffPo world. It was a different time, man. It was just, you had HuffPo, you had GeoCities, Bill Gates was still running Microsoft. It was World War One. Was a crazy time for the internet. Crazy time. But yeah, I think the point is boots on the ground has seemed to come up a lot more lately because, frankly, our warfare is such that we don't need boots on the ground. Boots on the ground being shorthand for, you know, a massive surge of soldiers. Now, let's not say we don't need them, but the technology, the contracting to the military contractors, you know, we don't need to put boots on the ground. We can just overpay some people to go and ruin everything, or we can drone, or we can laser strike. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we have a whole team of people with special power. One guy, like, is from the 1950s. Another guy, like, has a really fancy, like, armor suit. There's a woman. She's sort of, like, Russian. She's really talented. There's a guy with a good bow and arrow. The guy turns green. Guy with the hammer. That's right, everybody. I'm suggesting that to cure all of our world's problems, or at least to stop us from using the phrase boots on the ground, we send in the A-team. Has anybody made an A-team Greatest American Hero Knight Rider mashup yet? Because that would be the type of thing that would get a guy laid. I'm not kidding. You do that, not only do you not talk about Syria for 7 minutes probably, but you mix that in, maybe like you drop a little bit of like Full House in there. And yeah, that's how I heard the Full House meme, because it was based in San Francisco, and I spent a lot of time in San Francisco during the fresh new wave era, and so everything is techno beats. Even if it's all retrospective, even if my time the techno was well after Full House. Point is, the Weave and A-Team and Greatest American Hero and Knight Rider, all these crime fighters, all these sources of ending conflict with Full House, which is all about future conflict. It was about a child, a baby, that was really a twin, but it didn't know it because the character was a single, but the actresses were twins, and it was a conflict, and they destroyed the world. This is what everything, if we could just make a mashup, like a fun little song, put a little summer beat on it, have Jay-Z go, every seconds, that would solve so many of the world's problems. If you really stop and think about it, then you're wasting all of our time. But if you don't think about it whatsoever, you'll see that it's a great idea. And I'm asking for your vote this November. I want you to vote for me for mayor. I want you to do it in November as opposed to when the primary is next week, because I don't really want any part of that primary. I think the primary is nonsense. That's not true. It's not nonsense. I like Bill de Blasio for my regular politicians. I like Randy Credico for my slightly irregular politicians. I hope Randy Credico's been on this network a few times. I should have had him on, but you know what? I didn't mention he's a good guy. I like Anthony Weiner for my just guy that looks like a penis type politicians. Christine Quinn for that sort of cautionary tale of sort of crafting your career for one moment and then having that moment slip by you. And the rent is too damn high guy. He's not even around, but I like him. He's a sexy mofo. Anthony Weiner is, you know, I'd say part-time comedian. And by part-time, I mean some of the time. I mean, it's not, let me rephrase, I'm a full-time comedian, but I'm not only a comedian. But the comedian part of me is like, you know, he's the Kim Kardashian of politics. It's all flash. Like, he keeps doing these things. It's all name recognition. And what's scary is the thought that it might have worked. But it didn't. Anyway, my point is, vote for me in November. Don't vote for me in the New York mayor's primary. But write me in, because I think that'd be a pretty cool job to have. And, you know, I was working for Current TV. I rode that to the very end. But then Al Jazeera took over. It cut me free. They started up. I haven't watched. This is not a choice of spite. This is just a choice of, you know, limited resources. If anyone out there has checked out Al Jazeera America, please let me know. I will recommend it. I know some people that work there. I will talk to them. They're very talented, dedicated people. I mean, you know, it's Al Jazeera America. It's not exactly like Progressive Radio Network. The standards there are incredible. I mean, after all, I have a show. And on Al Jazeera America, I didn't, but I have very much digressed. The point is, I've successfully avoided talking about Syria for going on 9 minutes now. I mean, I've sort of touched on some of the issues. Boots on the ground, I said those words. I said November, and there may be something happening in November in the country of Syria, assuming we haven't just wiped it off the map. Literally by then, although it wouldn't matter because no one here can find it on the map. So that expression, you notice, hasn't been brought up lately because it's irrelevant. Everybody in America knows what a boot is. Most Americans know what a ground is, but I'd say less than 10% of Americans could identify Syria on a map. So I think we understand a little bit, not just about education and cultural values, but also... is it etymology? Is that the one? Or is that the one about butterflies? Or is it epistemology? Or is it episcopalism? Episcopalianism? Happy New Year, by the way. I think I mentioned that. It is the Jewish New Year. It's 5 something, something something. Probably there's some 7s and 4s in there. I had some apples, and I wanted to have some honey. I had some apples and maple syrup. I wanted honey, but I had one of those honey bears that I only use for Rosh Hashanah once a year, and I never know how to store it, and so it was disgusting. And I didn't have access to this radio station. I didn't have access to the interwebs. I did, actually. I was just lazy to find out how to bun nasty honey. And it wasn't that honey nasty that's, like, white and hard. It was, like, it looked like it was good because it was all still that solid, translucent, dark color. It was in a cupboard. It didn't have, like, bubbles in it. It just looked solid. I was like, oh, it's going to be awesome. And I turned it over, and it wouldn't, you know, move downward as things would with gravity. And we were talking about boots and ground earlier, and most people recognize that they work using gravity. It didn't move downward, and I said, well, let me give it a minute here. And I gave it a good 58, 59 seconds, and started squeezing. And then inside was that, like, hard candy-ish stuff, and it just never worked. I ran under hot water. I don't know what I was thinking. I tried to mate it with another bear that I had around because, you know, I have a kid, and so there's a lot of bears. Here, I played that song, the kid song. I saw a bear. He had a chair. His underwear. Please do not stare. That's actually not how the song goes, but that is sort of the tune. But I found what's healthy for me as a human is to make up my own kid song. It's sort of like people that make their own baby food, except it's I'm making my own kid song because that way there no one has any sort of nutritional value. There's no reason. There's no substantive accomplishment when I do it like that. And that's important because I'm just trying to survive. I'm just trying to raise a child in a country that doesn't talk about Syria. I think that that's important because, you know, what do we have as Americans? What ties us together except me not wanting to talk about Syria? I mean, is it just wondering why I don't want to talk about Syria? Because I don't want to fall into the trap of it's everything everybody's talking about, I have to be different? Or is it because it's a complex issue and I don't feel like I've studied enough and read enough and really understand it enough? Or is it because it challenges sort of the aspirational notions I have of my political leaders? Or is it, you know, because it confirms that my notions of our leaders, that they're imperfect creatures and that, you know, it's a matter of compromise. And just because I find fault in someone that I would choose over others 100 times doesn't mean that he is a failure. We have a system that obviously one man is not going to change on. You know what? We didn't elect a rainbow to enlighten dark clouds of a sun shower day. That doesn't make sense. My point is, I saw a rainbow over there on a lake in New Hampshire, and we were on a boat. I noticed the rainbow, you know, it was landing in one spot, and as we moved, it moved. Because you see rainbows, that's why you can't get gold at the butt, because you can't get to the – it moves. It's about your perception and perspective. And I think that sort of explains why we spend so much time trying not, you know, to talk about Syria. And, you know, I think that sort of sums it up. Well, look, everybody, this is what's going to happen now. We're going to talk about Syria. I'm kidding. Although it was interesting, I thought Putin, Vladimir, the guy that, you know, took that short little break and had Medvedev, the bear, by the way, is what that means, right? Am I right? Hold this place. It does actually mean something. They're like, he, Putin, on the Ritz, kill me, had a meeting with Obama. And I find that I'm always amused because Putin, he's such a relic or a callback to the Soviet era. And I realize now, what is it, 2013? My God, it's been 22 years since the fall of the Soviet Union. And everyone here remembers the Soviet Union, right? It was the other superpower. You know, it was a loose group of nominally independent states who had sort of all of the control of the media and the economy and the politics were centralized by centralized command, and their leaders, gave centralized orders, and the whole thing collapsed because of a false economic myth of communism, and a failed invasion of Afghanistan, and the fact that their leaders were essentially chosen predeterminedly by party, by popularity, and by a secret council of elders. And my goodness, I am so glad that we are not like that. Our council of elders would be the Supreme Court, and our economic myth would be capitalism. It's almost like they're asking me, why are we the same? Why are all cultures the same? And then you have Syria. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. Now, I don't mean we as a culture, we as political society, we as a country are going to do nothing. I mean, I am going to do nothing about it. And you can judge however you want. In fact, I want you to judge. I want you to call in 888-874-4888 and tell me what you think about anything. We've had a lot of calls. The lines have been lighting up. But unfortunately, everyone here wants to talk about Syria, and I've made very strict instructions. I thought you guys understood. I don't want to talk about Syria. I'd rather talk about the debt ceiling, which is a pointless thing. I mean, we're going to hit the debt ceiling again soon, but don't worry. We've gotten a nice budget control model given to us by the good people at McDonald's. For those of you who don't know those, the thing went around, and that's what I'm talking about. You know, the budget McDonald's sent around that included income from a second job. How to work on a McDonald's but have another job, and then you still have like $7 a day to live on. Which, hey, you go to some countries, like I've heard, I mean, you get it to Thailand, Vietnam. Once you get there, airfare is expensive. Once you get there, it's cheap. You can live for $7 a day. I'm guessing, educated guessing. Really, what else can you do in life except for educated guess? Sure, you could plan, you could save for college and retirement, you could have a job, you could pay your bills, you could have a career, but that's not realistic. So instead, you just make educated guesses throughout life. Advice. My days are a series of educated guesses. I wake up, I'm like, I have faith that there is a steady floor beneath my feet. I will walk, and I have faith, based upon everything that I have learned to this point, that there is cereal downstairs, and there is milk, and there is coffee, and if there is not, I have faith, based upon everything that I've learned and observed throughout my life, that there is a store a half a block away, and a coffee shop a half a block away, and I can make these things together, and I have faith, based upon everything that I've learned and studied in my life, that I can punch out a man going to his job and steal his wallet to pay for things at that store and that coffee shop in order to get those things that I don't have in my refrigerator if need be. See, my faith is in my mind. My faith is in what we collectively as a culture, as a people, as a universe have learned since the dawn of creation. My faith is not in one being disseminating. My faith is not a one thing conveying that message, but in our collective energy, our collective knowledge, our collective being, our collective abilities. That is my faith. And then also, once a year, I eat apples and maple syrup, because the honey that I use once a year to eat apples and honey with doesn't work. I will say this, though. I think apples and maple syrup may have a future. Here's the problem. The honey sticks to the apples so well. It's like it's designed. They like go to, it's like peanut butter and chocolate, or yin and yang, or me and fat. Like, they just go and it sticks together, right? The maple syrup, it's too runny. But I think you take it a step back, you get the sap that becomes the maple syrup. You sort of get the intermediary stuff, the really sticky stuff. Like, I grew up in New England, we used to go get sugar on snow. don't know exactly what it was. Sure, I could Google it, but you know what? I'm a man. Which when the sugar on snow was like, you know, was sort of the late winter, early spring, and there's, and they get the sap out of the tree, and it was like the raw, sugary maple syrup before it got all watery like that. So that would stick to an apple. I mean, heck, you have it, you stick it, it sticks to ice. I mean, my goodness, what sticks to ice these days? Besides sand and raw, pure maple syrup, right? So I could have that on my apples. And on a day like this, a day of reflection, a day when we sound the shofar in our faith to call all the great energies together. I know that's not why we do it. That's why I feel it, why I believe it. You know, my religion to me is about remembering my family and my traditions and having a ritual that unites me backwards through history as far as my people can reach. And that's cool. My faith is about the power of the universe. It's about the power of the collective mind and energies. And these two things don't always go together. That doesn't mean one is not important. And I think you see what I'm trying to say is you're going on 22 minutes without mentioning Syria. Not only have we not mentioned Syria, well, okay, we've mentioned it. We haven't talked about it. We've hinted at some of the things we could talk about. Like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like we've succeeded in my goal so far. But not only have we succeeded in my goal so far, but I have not called in the play something from the final audition card, which I was talking to Heather, our wonderful engineer, tonight. Beforehand, I was trying to get her prepped. And don't worry, Heather, you don't have to get prepped. You don't have to be, you know, listening now. You don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to do that. Well, good, because you know what? There's the world has a lot to offer if you stop and spend a lot of time focusing on not Syria. You'll realize there's a lot more. There's a lot more to the world than Syria. I mean, it's cool. Yeah, I got to tell you all something. Since the end of it's been almost 3 weeks now, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks since the end of current TV. I've almost been unplugged in a way. So I was so plugged into what everybody knew was doing, what was going on all the time. Now I don't have any idea. I mean, I don't have no idea, but I had so much idea. I knew the analysis from left and right and center. I knew what was happening all the time. Now I'm just like, what's happening all the time? I don't know. Do you know? No, I don't know. It's nice. It's kind of nice to not have to listen to the noise. I mean, you know, I was making some of the noise, and there's some things that are nice about the noise. I'm not saying be noise, but sort of sometimes nice to not just take a break. I mean, it's going to be there, the chatter. If I don't know what's happening all the time, but this is, you know, this show originated to help give perspective on news and to provide that perspective to people that were very in the know, that were, you know, had to keep up on the news, and I've always had to keep up on the news, but it's also, you know, the news is still going to be there. The world will still be spinning with kinetic frenzy if you take a minute to step back and watch the sparks form a glow instead of trying to stamp out each spark or catch it in a jar like a firefly. I mean, that's what news is. Right? News is a firefly, a spark, a scraped off ember, the friction that causes human interaction. One bumps into another, culturally, personally, spiritually, or politically. Sparks will fly. And sometimes they're beautiful, and sometimes they burn. Other times, I don't know, I knew a guy named Tony Sparks. He used to run a comedy show in San Francisco. I don't mean the guy that played that is Iron Man, although maybe he could be Iron Man. He's good people. You know, who I say, good people. Comedy is communication. Comedy, like life, is communication. So
I think what we've learned here tonight is don't talk about Syria. It's possible to do that. I mean, you can't talk about it. You should talk about it. It's an important issue. We might be invading another country. We might be intentionally causing more death. Although, someone should tell me how this is different from all of our drone strikes and everything else we've been discussing, but that's another story. Yes, I know, but just relax, people. Well, let me rephrase. Not don't talk about Syria, but it's possible not to talk about Syria. It's possible to talk about the beauty of the universe. It's possible that you stick around in 3 or 4 minutes and listen to the Final Edition Radio. We had a really great show this week. We put out an album. You can find this at thefinaledition.com. Things are happening in Final Edition. Soon this, soon the Final Edition Radio Hour will be more than a 30-minute show. It'll be a full hour. Might even take over Cheetah and the Root, although next week, on the 12th of September, we have an incredible Cheetah and the Root show, a very special interview. Someone traveling here from England is going to be talking with someone who is awesome. So tune in next week. This is sort of the prime of the pump. So we're back, baby. Cheetah and the Root, or at least Cheetah, is back. We're going to keep calling it Cheetah and the Root because it makes Lee feel nothing. And that's important for me. I want to know that I have that effect on people. I want them to be able to feel nothing because of the things I do. If I had the power to affect people's feelings or actions, I would probably use it to get myself money and sex more. But I feel guilty about it after like 5 or 10 years, and I'd have them build houses for people that need it or fix irrigation systems. But I am that reason. Glad that my words have no effect on people's feelings, or at least not me. Maybe you are affected by my words. That is probably why you've been tweeting me so much tonight. And I appreciate that. I'll respond to all the tweets soon. I'll respond to all of your love soon. Happy New Year, everybody. May you have a blessed 57-something-something or just a good Thursday. And we'll talk to you soon. Stick around for the Final Edition Radio Hour. This has been Cheetah and the Root. Yeah, I'm Jeff Kreisler. You can tweet it at Jeff Kreisler, Kreisler, Jeff Kreisler. Or check us out on Facebook, Cheetah and the Root. Thank you, everybody. Have a great night.